Okay. Hi, everybody. Thanks for coming back in. I'm going to very, very rapidly announce the winners of the prize draw, because I know the real draw here is going to be Christian. More in a minute. So, Joy Harcourt, and the winners, if you can pick up your prizes on the way out, rather than me hand out and take up more time. Joy Harcup has won the 1 year's free insurance, Oxford Insurance. Julia Drum has won £50 worth of free books from Open University Press. Alice Lindley has won a signed copy of Solution Focused Coaching in Practice. Stephanie Sara, a copy of Mindful Coaching. Bridget Russell, a copy of How to Deal with Stress. So, well done, congratulations, everybody. And now, I'm going to whiz through introducing you just to say that, you know, he's Christian. Put my glasses on, sorry about this. Programme leader for the MSc in Coaching Psychology at UEL, amongst many other things. And if anyone can captivate you at this, at the end of the day, it's going to be Christian. Now, please blame me, but I'm going to add on another 10 minutes at the end of this session. I realise that some of you will have trains to catch, and so we'll understand if you have to sneak off, but I really don't want to take away from his session, because I know it's going to be really wonderful. Okay, right. Over to you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And if you've won something in the prize draw, you can thank me for that as well, because I actually drew them. So, well done for that. It's a fantastic opportunity to be talking to you. It's a bit of a challenge to say that, you know, I need to do something uplifting and energizing. And I need to let you know straight away that there's one disadvantage, and I know it's not good coaching practice to talk about disadvantages and weaknesses first, but I need to let you know I'm from Belgium. And one thing we do very well, you know, it's an art form now of being quite forgettable. So I always feel in these events I have to work even harder. So if I'm running around and getting sweaty, that's the reason for that. Any of you come across that so-called game, Name 10 Famous Belgians? Yeah, that's where that comes from. You know, you can say whatever you like about President Morsi, but at least his people know his name. So EU President Herman Van Rompuy, his problem is people haven't even heard of him, and he's Belgian. So I've got a bit of a challenge, but in order to help me with that challenge, are you prepared to engage and explore this concept of aha moments with me? Are you with me on this? We'll kind of really get engaged. The idea is to engage and explore, and all of us talk together about this, so that we can learn something together. Perfect. So, how I think we'll spend our time together, and thank you for staying on till 10 minutes after, and if you do need to slip out, that's perfectly fine. What I wanted to do first was share our understanding. I want to talk about aha moments. I want to share our understanding of what that is, because I believe a lot of us in coaching and also in education are drawn to this because of that aha moment, that helping people to discover something. And the amazing thing about the aha moment is I think most of us will know what it is I'm talking about. So when I say aha moment, we know what it is I'm talking about, and yet there's not that much in the coaching literature. And really, in terms of this session of 40 minutes, because I took out, David, I took out about 10 minutes about goal setting, it's actually a shorter session. I've had to remove some slides. No, I haven't. Okay, so share our understanding, first of all, and then explore how can we make aha moments more likely. And if I want it to be really challenging to us as a group, the challenge is, can we have some aha moments in the room? That's something for us to think about. Are you up for that challenge? Yeah. Are people prepared to share if you do have an aha moment during the session? Yeah. Perfect. And very importantly for me, I work at the University of East London, and what I really am passionate about is bringing together the theory, the practice, and the research to inform what we do when we're sitting in front of clients. So very important for me right at the end is that each of us, including me, we take something away that's going to inform our practice. So the way I'm going to judge this session is, did people take something away that's going to change their practice even in the slightest possible way? That would be how I'll be evaluating this. So what I want to do first of all, and you did agree to kind of engage with this, so this is going to be 5 minutes. What I'd like you to do, don't do it yet, but what I'd like you to do is stand up and go and find somebody you haven't spoken to all day. So let's take advantage of this last session to find somebody we haven't spoken to at all today. And I'd like you in pairs to do two things. No, actually, because of time, one thing. You pick which one you'd like. Choice, the principle of choice. One you can either come up with a one-sentence definition that you both agree with about the aha moment. So let's make sure we know what we're talking about. So either a one-sentence definition or a little visual representation that kind of connects with both of you. So maybe take your handouts with you in case you want to sketch something. Just a visual representation of what the aha moment is. It's going to be 5 minutes. I don't know how I'm going to bring people back to order. So if you see me bouncing around at the front, it's not the caffeine. It's just me trying to get us back into order. Is that okay? So 5 minutes, please stand up, find a partner, and do one of these. Thank you for sharing. That's really helpful. Great. I have been a secondary school teacher, but the look doesn't work in this size of a room. I do have the look, but people have to be looking this way, I guess. Okay, well, I really appreciated that, and really appreciate the energy in the room when talking about that, which makes me think maybe we're talking about something that's interesting for us as coaches, and it ties really beautifully to what we've been talking about all day, I hope. So anybody prepared to share the visual image or the very short quote for the purposes of time, if they could be short quotes, and if a mic could be sent around, please, to whoever would like to share it? That would be great. So let's have a few definitions first, sentence definitions, if you can raise your hands, and then two or three visual sketches, and we'll move on. And I'll be prepared to, I'm also going to be my own beautiful assistant, or just assistant. And I'll just capture a few of these thoughts. Anybody raise your hand, please? There's a microphone nearby, yes? So if you could give us your definition of what it is.
A sudden surprising unfolding which creates space and a transformational shift.
Wow, I like that. I'm going to capture that, the sudden and the surprisingness of something unfolding. Thank you. Any other little snippets from people about definitions? We might all be able to go home now. We seem to have gotten the concept.
A one-way trip to clarity.
Hey, sorry?
A one-way trip.
One-way trip to clarity. I like that. And actually, we're going to come back to the idea of the one-way trip as well, that it's a one-way route. But certainly clarity comes up a lot. Any other definitions? Please raise your hands. One more definition and then a couple visual images.
A new awareness with a wow factor.
Wow. Okay, I'm just going to capture the wow factor. So it's an awareness, but there's something wowy about it. And that's, again, what we want to explore today. If we can capture the sense of that wow. And remember, what we're trying to do is how can we create the context in which that wow can happen in our coaching sessions? Because if we all admit it, probably one of the reasons we got into coaching is some sort of connection to that wow moment. That kind of having experienced it ourselves, and the feeling that we get when others experience it around us. A lot of educators also for the same reason. How about some visual images? What images have we got? Please describe them very briefly or...
An exclamation mark.
Okay, wonderful. So I'm going to try and represent them here. Exclamation mark. Very simple. Thank you very much.
Our image is from another Belgian called Jan de Souter, who I find myself in partnership with, so this is
fantastic.
A special one. The wind blows through, a mist disappears, and he sees the picture clearly.
Wow. So the wind coming in and the mist. I don't know how to represent this. But the mist blowing away, you know. Another famous Belgian to add to your list. And before you ask, I can't name 10 either, but at least we've got two. Okay.
This is similar. It was an image of the sun suddenly bursting through a cloud cover.
I love
and
that.
A shaft of light.
Shaft of light coming down, the sun popping up. If anybody urgently wants to share one or two more, we can, and then we'll have to move on. Yes?
Mine's not an image. It's a sort of a felt embodied sense. So there's like, ooh.
Nice. Ooh.
And then there's a which is the God, that's so obvious.
Okay, yeah, I like
and
that.
Now it's landed.
Yeah, that's kind of obvious. Okay, so the excitement, the woo, plus then the next. We'll talk about that a little bit. Yes, last one.
We have a composite of a whoosh of wind, an explosion of energy, a sprinkling of stars, a ray of light and a heart.
Ray of light. heart. That is beautiful. Those are beautiful images. So I just want to move on, if that's all right. Let's take one more.
Ours was a vase with the shape of a face on the side, so that okay. with directed focus, you suddenly see the shape of the face. So similar to what Paul Brown did this morning. With
wow.
the
light. So being able to see something suddenly by looking at it. Yeah. Bring focus, and maybe that idea of tilt your head to the right kind of idea. Yeah, yeah. Excellent. So have we got a sense of it? I think there's some wonderful images here that we can work with, but this, the moment of surprise, clarity, things like that. I think we're on the same track. Now, I'm never sure with this penny dropping moment. I've never figured out what it means. So probably I shouldn't use it. But people use that as well, the idea of when the penny dropped. And I think David mentioned Alison's workshop where they talked about a magical moment. So it might be those kind of moments. And I think we've got a sense of what it is. And there is something quite powerful about those things. Now let's look at it from a scientific point of view very quickly. And some people are doing research into using fMRI, which is functional magnetic resonance imaging. This is a scientific definition they used in a published paper. So a brief moment of exceptional thinking. So we've captured a little bit of that, where an unexpected change reveals a solution to an intractable problem. So let's bring our energy levels down a little bit by looking at the scientific definitions here, and it's some yawns in the room. And again, what's really interesting is that there's a lot of interest in China at the moment about these moments of insight, that creativity. Where does it come from? And I really loved Professor Brown's talk in the morning because it didn't go beyond the research. It was very well rooted in the research. And, you know, there's a temptation with neuroscience to get carried away and say, oh, it's telling us everything we need to know. But at the moment, what we can tell is that there are certain parts of the brain which do seem to be activated in these moments. And the reason I'm sharing this is to say that the aha moment is a concept that we all seem to have. And there is some scientific backing for the fact there is a phenomenon here. It's not just in our mind. There is actually something happening. And I really like this image. Actually, it's a very expensive bronze sculpture. My wife wouldn't let me buy it, but if we could have a hat round, perhaps I can get it for myself. I like this image because there's something powerful about the two kind of in parallel running together. With the aha moment, there's something powerful that comes with it. And my curiosity, and I don't have the answer to this, but there's a curiosity. When I talk about the aha moment with coaches and coachees, one thing I'm finding is that anything I talk about happening with the coachee, there's a little bit of a parallel of that happening with the coach as well. So as we go through this, just keep that in your mind, that everything I'm saying is happening to the coachee. There might be some of that happening as well. And this is based on my own coaching, being coached, being a coaching supervisor, teaching at university. I've talked about this aha moment a lot in lots of different sessions. And these are the kinds of things that keep coming up. So this idea of connection, but remember, not just the coachee. Coach and coachee suddenly feel connected to something. And, you know, if we think back to Paul Brown's presentation earlier, you know, maybe there's an actual connection going on as well, but a feeling of connection. This idea of increased clarity, suddenly things are clearer. You see things in sharper focus, so something happening there. But one of the reasons we're talking about this today is it brings with it a positive sensation. So when I talk to people about the aha moments, they say, yeah, I felt positive about it at some point, either at the moment or later on. A sense of excitement. Oh, I've just seen something. It could be a one-way road. I've just seen it. And importantly, again, for us as coaches, an increased sense of confidence that now I know this. Now that I have seen this, I am going to be able to do something about it. So as you can see, critically important for us as coaches, if we're coaching, the power of these moments is huge. And the irony or the difficulty is we don't talk a lot about these aha moments, and that's the curiosity that we're kind of engaging with. Now, Eric DeHaan and his colleagues at Ashridge Business School have done some high-quality research in this area, and this was both quantitative and qualitative. The quantitative part is fascinating, What he did is he asked lots of pairs of coaches and coachees to identify what he called critical moments. I'm using aha moments, but I think there's some similarities there. He was saying, when you had, to the coachee, when were those critical moments? And they identified when we talked about this, it was about 20 minutes in, etc. Then he asked the coaches, were there any aha moments? And he found a strong correlation. So again, there's something that's beyond, oh, just there is something tangible that is noticed by both the coachee and the coaches. That was a significant moment. And the words, I mean, we didn't get light bulb here, but the idea of a light bulb tipping moment is the words that coachees, so you've got it, great, that coachees used when they were describing those moments for themselves. And the tipping point, it ties into the one-way road idea, that actually now that I've seen this, things have changed. Tipping point. It's a moment of that's going to change things forever almost. So how significant is that when we're talking about transformational change? So thank you very much for sharing that example, but it's a moment of realization that isn't fleeting. It actually, that realization informs our practice as we move forward. And I think I've crossed a bridge, but the moment is captured here. And as coaches, we have to be very careful of, yeah, that's obvious. When the coachee says, I've got it, I need to talk to my manager about this. We don't want to be saying, oh, come on, you just thought of that? Because for them, it's a significant moment. And David Rock, I'll mention him, he talks about, he does talk about neuroscience as well, and what's useful in what he says is there's something going on in the brain, we've talked about that, but then he says that there's actually something else going on physically as well, which gives us, it releases chemicals in the body. Now, I'm not sure about actually what goes on in the body, but I do believe that what we get is this important word that Paul Brown mentioned earlier today, that actually what comes with an aha moment is energy. And we all know how difficult change is. And the one thing that you need to change is energy. So what about tapping into that energy? You know, what about saying, well, there's one way we can get energy in the room from the person that's going to be transformational. So this leads us to the question of how can we make those aha moments more likely? I had to phrase this very carefully because there's a paradox here. And the paradox is, and I learned the hard way, because I got very excited about this and I thought every coachee I have is going to have an aha moment and they're going to dance out of the coaching room with that little thing they do, skipping out. And I was committed to this, but what I found the hard way, and a lot of the research shows this, is that it's the harder you push for it, the less likely it becomes. So the harder you push for it, the less likely it becomes. And I'm going to go through very quickly to kind of identify what I think, but what would be helpful for you, you know, being a coach, I'm not going to be saying do these things, but I will be giving you some things to think about, because my hope for this session is that something we talk about here is going to inform your coaching practice. When you go and coach others, that something will be different. So just some ideas to think about. So first of all, two parts to this. This is create the right context in which aha moments can happen. So how can we create the context in which they happen? And obviously we can look at the humanistic approach. Some of you will be really pleased to see Carl Rogers' name up here. And the humanistic approach is those things. Understand the issue that the coachee brings, how are they coping with whatever it is, and then simply hold a mirror up. It's a very non-directive approach. And what I'm saying is that we can do that as well, and really it's about us also trying to create the right context in which aha moments happen. So these are Rogers' necessary and sufficient conditions for therapeutic change. We don't need to go into that because I'm just bringing a parallel to the idea of creating the right context. Because Rogers said, if you can do these things, then people will naturally grow towards, you know, move towards growth, development, and optimal functioning. So what we're trying to do here is saying, what are the conditions that we need to create which will make aha moments more likely? Well, this word has come up a lot, and I'm really pleased it has. The one critical factor, and a lot of the research into coaching and also therapy shows that the one thing that coaches have more control over than most other things in a coaching conversation is the nature of the relationship. So we have to create the right relationship to create the safety needed for people to share aha moments. And one practical thing we can do, how many of you talk about your coaching relationship to the coachee? Raise your hands if you talk about it explicitly. That's fantastic. Excellent practice. How is our relationship doing? If we recognize that the relationship is so crucial to the success of coaching conversations, then let's talk about it. And again, this applies in coaching, and I also tried it with my wife. Don't. No. It's really any important relationship. It's worth just checking how is that relationship going. So one of my final questions is, how are we doing? How's our relationship? And is the relationship strong enough for these aha moments to kind of emerge? Now, the other one, a really difficult concept as well, is the idea of discomfort. And Eric DeHaan's research has shown, when he looked at critical moments, he noticed that many times an aha moment comes after a moment of discomfort. So a moment of the kind of recognition we had an example of realizing something. And that uncomfortable moment precedes critical realizations. So what implications does that have for us as coaches? Well, how comfortable are we with discomfort? And if you're a male coach, how comfortable are you with a female coach crying, for example, with tears, or male coachee crying? And just reflecting on this, one of the concerns I have is that if we don't like discomfort, if I don't like discomfort, and I'm coaching somebody, and it gets very uncomfortable, and I think, I don't want them to experience this. I don't like them to go through a tough time. I'm going to cut it off. It's easy for us to do that. Oh, let's talk about something else. Or somebody says, a coachee of mine once said, I know what it is. They don't trust me. They don't trust me. And it was very emotional. And my gut instinct was, let's talk about something else. I'll say, oh, I'm sure they trust you. Oh, don't worry. But actually, what we might be doing by avoiding the discomfort because we don't like discomfort is getting in the way of an aha moment. So it's for us to reflect on how do we deal with discomfort. And another beautiful thing that David said, I hope you don't mind me sharing, the idea of the 30%, when you started, you're saying 30% of the time you didn't know what to do in a coaching session, or something along those lines, and then it went up to 90%. I think us being able to deal with uncertainty as coaches is incredibly important. Because if it's about insights, we have to enter into the territory of the coachee doesn't really know what's going on. The coachee is confused. And how often have we been confused as coaches? I'm often confused, and sometimes I'm thinking, I don't know what's going on here. But what's happening is we're entering into an area of uncertainty, and only in those moments of uncertainty are we going to have new insights. And again, think of ourselves as coaches. As coaches, we're managing the process. This person's paying me. There's a huge temptation sometimes to think, I want a good outcome. Let's stay on the firm. I'm comfortable here. I know what's going on. We're in the goal stage. Now we're in reality. Now we're in options. Stick to the plan. However, going into uncertainty, in moments of uncertainty, insights emerge. Particularly maybe in our culture, and I'm talking about the culture of the UK, silences are awkward. The only place they're allowed, apparently, is lifts. Silence in lifts is allowed, I learned, because I was chatting to somebody in the lift when I first came to the UK. I also chatted to people in the underground. There's certain circumstances where silence is recommended. But in coaching conversations, how comfortable are we with silences? You know, so I believe that if you ask a question and the coachee answers it straight away, that hasn't been a powerful coaching question. The really powerful questions are the ones where they don't have an answer. And yet, what do? Sometimes we try to come up with a different answer, a different question. Sometimes I think that wasn't a very good question, they don't know the answer, let me ask another. Whereas actually, when we've asked a question they don't know the answer to, that's gold, that's coaching gold. That's the moment where we've actually asked them something they don't know, which is likely to hopefully lead to these kinds of moments. So I'm going to ask you to do another little game. Remember, you promised you're going to play along with this. It's a raising your hands kind of game. Are you okay with that? I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Okay. So first of all, raise your hands if you don't want to play this game. Okay, you don't have to play the game. But for everybody else, I've been saying that one way of increasing the likelihood of aha moments is to create the right context. Now, going back to the analogy that I've been using with Carl Rogers, would you say that it's necessary that we focus on the relationship, that we think about our interaction with discomfort, that we accept that uncertainty is part of the coaching process, and that silences can be helpful? Do you believe it's necessary? Put your hands up if you think it's necessary. Great, that's a good answer. If you look around, there's a lot of agreement with that. That's excellent. Now, what about if I said, is that all we need to do? So to increase the chance, raise your hand if you think that's sufficient. That's all we need to do. Great. So the more humanistic, non-directive coaches are saying, well, that's all we need to do to create the right context. Now, I'm proposing that in addition to this, we might, and I'm not sure about this, but we might want to encourage new thinking as well. So in addition to creating the right context, what can we as coaches do to encourage new thinking? And I'm known to be a very annoying coach. It's not very good for business, I have to tell you. But I'm annoying because when they're coming up with options, I don't leave it. So I don't accept just one or two options when they say I could do this or this, because again, my belief is they're intelligent people. If it's an issue for them, they'll have thought about it. And the first two options probably are ones that they've thought of already. And they'll say, oh, there's these two options. But I keep at it. And I think that is important for us coming up with new ideas, because, well, you've thought of these two things before. Often they'll say, I can either talk to my manager or I can leave. Okay, anything else you can do? So I keep at what else could you do until they get fed up with it. And by the fifth coaching session, they say, Christian, you're going to ask me what else I could do, aren't you? And I say, yes. What else could you do in addition to what you've said? And also, really important to engage the coachee in activities. And this is going to sound a little, I'll get to that. So the idea of creativity. So, you know, who's told us that the best way of getting creative is spending 2 hours in a room talking to somebody else? Just talking. Who said that that's the most creative way of engaging with things? So what I would suggest, really important, to bring in activities, use Lego, to have some play, plasticine, to get them to stand up. And one of the things I do is I say, how do you feel about role play? I can already see people cringing in here. And if that's the thing they hate the most, if the relationship's there, which is why the relationship's important, I say, well, are you prepared to go with me and have a go anyway? And if I say, do you want to draw that? And they say, I can't draw. Are you prepared to just sketch it out? Because actually, getting them to do what they like doing isn't likely to create the new thinking that's needed. Because I think what we're trying to do is create new neural pathways. So if they always mind map, they're going to love the idea of, oh, I'll mind map it. Well, you're always mind mapping. Why don't we try doing something else? So this is the counterintuitive bit. A great person who talks about, there's a YouTube clip of Daniel Goleman talking about the aha moment. Just Google it there, Goleman and aha. And the bit that I want to capture, it's much more deep than I'm going to say, but the bit I want to capture is he found something really interesting. He said that before aha moments, he notices a lot of brain activity and then a bit of a lull, a bit of a quiet time, and then the insightful moment, the aha moment. So there's a kind of a gap. And you know, famous people like Archimedes, who allegedly ran naked through the town, he got a discovery sitting in the bathtub, didn't he? Or Newton, did it hit his head or did he see the apple fall? I'm not sure. It's more entertaining to think it hit his head and this kind of aha moment emerged. But it comes back to the idea that these magical moments cannot be manufactured. So what they found is that the brain goes down into a kind of a quiet state. So has anybody gone to bed with an issue, a problem, something that seems like the biggest kind of conundrum in the world, and then you woke up in the morning with a solution? Or is that just me? No, some people have done that, good. And you know what I do now? I've got a pack of post-it notes next to my bed, because what also happens is there's a flash of insight. I'm like, oh, I've got it. After I've had breakfast, I'm thinking, what was that again? But it is sudden. It's sudden, it's unexpected, it's a little moment of insight. And how do we capture that? So the idea of this leads to my notion of unfocusing. I don't even know if that's a word. But the idea when we're coaching, that, you know, often we've got the coachee with a really intractable problem or a real challenge, and they're working really hard. They've been sitting there for an hour and a half grappling with something. Well, actually, the research tells us that's not going to lead to an aha moment, because the harder we think about it, the more we get caught up in, I don't know the answer to this, the less likely an aha moment is. So what we have to do in some way is to unfocus. And one of the ways is say, shall we take a little break? Let's take a little break. It looks like it's really challenging. Let's take a break. Let's go for a little walk around. Another way is to talk about something completely irrelevant. You can see why my coaching client numbers are dwindling now. Because I'll say, well, we've been thinking about this for a little while. Let's talk about, tell me a little bit about that again. But my intention here is let's take the focus away from, I don't know the solution to this, because it's more likely that they'll think, hold on a minute, because it's when our mind is idling. That's the notion I've got. Our mind isn't actually focused on the issue. So this is why it happens in the shower. In the shower, you're like, oh, because I wasn't actively thinking about it. So unfocus is a interesting concept. Again, challenge, be very challenging. This is the idea of using activities that the coachee doesn't want to do. Be prepared to push the coachee. That Rubik's Cube gave me nightmares. I can't do a normal Rubik's Cube. And when I saw this, it just caused me a little bit more anxiety. But maybe if I sleep on it. Anyway, so the idea of challenging the coachee is really important as well. And I love this image. I had to be here. I don't know if you've seen this. Hey, you can do it. You can do it. But the really important thing of us believing that the coachee has the ability to come up with the solution for themselves. You know, and that's a challenge I put to each one of you. How genuinely do you believe that the coachee is going to come up with an insight or a belief? And I would say that your belief that they will come up with something is an important part of creating the right context for aha moments to occur. And again, an interesting piece of research back from the 1960s, because it would be considered unethical now to do this research, but do look at Rosenthal and the Pygmalion effect. Has anybody seen that? The idea of the self-fulfilling prophecy, that actually if teachers believe that certain children are more likely to achieve higher results than others, even when they're randomly selected, then those children do achieve more than others using a standardized test. So it wasn't the teacher having assessment. It's the teacher's belief that certain children will perform better than others actually became a self-fulfilling prophecy. But doesn't that apply to us as coaches? Our belief in their ability? So when I'm supervising and people say, I don't think this coach is ever going to X, Y, or Z, or then the question is to the coach, isn't it? So what are you going to do to change your attitude to this client? What can you do to be part of the environment that increases the chance of an aha moment rather than decreases that aha moment? So, the making aha moments more likely, what I'm proposing is that on the one hand, we need to create the right context, and on the other hand, encourage new thinking by doing some of these things, engaging in activities, challenging, and believing in their ability to achieve those things. So very briefly, now this is again a challenge to you. That was a very brief canter through some of the ideas about aha moments. I just want you to turn to the person next to you and say, in a couple of minutes, again, I'll do my jumping thing again, just 2 minutes, what, if anything, has kind of connected with you, and what might you do differently in your coaching as a result of this brief presentation? So turn to the person next to you and share what you may do differently. Thank you for that. I'm trying to finish on time, so jump up and down. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you. I hate to interrupt good conversations like this. Thank you very much. I hate to interrupt good conversations, and it sounded like really exciting conversations. I hope you've taken away some practical ideas for what you might do differently in your coaching practice, because I think that's really what we're all here for, is about supporting others. And what I'm talking about is harnessing the power that's within the aha moment. There is energy within that and power. And just thinking about how we can make that a little bit more likely. Now, when do these aha moments happen? There hasn't been research about that, so please do get in touch if you're interested about finding at what moments in a coaching conversation these aha moments occur. But if we were to look at the simple grow model, I think the right context should be going on the whole time, so we should all constantly be evaluating, is the relationship right, and am I doing whatever I can to increase the chances? But I believe that sometimes it can happen in the reality stage, just the person talking. If we create the right environment, the thinking space for the person, just by talking it out, sometimes the coachee says, I've got it, that's it. And I'm thinking, oh no, it's only 20 minutes in. they can sometimes make that just by, and that's the evidence that sometimes all we need to do is create the right environment, and that is by being respectful, listening powerfully, and being very interested in what the person says. They can do that for themselves. At other times, it can happen in this stage by doing creative activities, getting them to do unusual things, getting them to evaluate their thoughts. Sometimes the aha moment seems to reside in that. But what we need to remind ourselves as coaches, because we mustn't get hooked on the adrenaline ourselves of these aha moments like I did, I recognize also that for some people, the coaching conversation can be the start of that thinking process. And the aha moment can come in the downtime when you're on the train on your way back home, driving back, the moment you get to sleep, the moment you wake up. So these aha moments can occur at all sorts of various times. So I'm going to take a bit of risk here now and ask you, have there been any aha moments about, in this room, about your coaching practice? Anything that's kind of clicked for you and you've just seen a little? Yes? Oh, sorry, we need to.
Mine was about the energy that the client has when they have an aha moment and that impulse to do. I'm going to let them go do now.
Fantastic. Great. Excellent. So it's really harnessing that power that Paul Brown actually talked about at the beginning of the day as well. Any other aha moments to share?
Yeah, mine would be to have the patience to allow the person to have uncertainty.
Wonderful.
Something that for me before was now I have the aha moment like, let him be uncertain and uncomfortable more.
Right.
And not have that willing of, I want to help you out. And,
do you know, that's exactly the same for me. I went through that aha moment myself, which is, I'm being honest with you now, when we get into difficulties and uncertainty, I, as a coach, think, oh, good, we're getting somewhere interesting now, where before it used to get me unsettled and anxious. And I used to say, oh no, I don't know where we are, I don't know what to do. But this kind of insight has allowed me to say, actually, we're somewhere really good. I just need to hold it and be patient with it myself. And this is where I agree with David talking about, sometimes the goal can get in the way of that. If we're pushing too hard for, so what's the goal and what are you going to do?
Having purpose gives you clarity, but the goal may fix you in rules and in a route.
Absolutely. I'm still committed to goals, but I do recognize that being over kind of focused on I need to deliver something can sometimes get in the way of those aha moments. So we do need patience. One more, three aha moments would be great. Any others to share? Oh, thank you. I bet there's others lurking in the room as well, but we're going to have to stop at three. Thank you very much.
The reminder that however sticky things can get, just continue to believe.
Fantastic. And the research backs this up. Eric DeHaan's research shows that a lot of critical moments happen after that moment of discomfort. So although we're well-intentioned by saying, well, I don't want my coachee to go through this kind of real difficult moment, or I don't want to go through the difficult moment, that actually sometimes sticking with it is going to be incredibly helpful and potentially transformational for our coaching. Thank you very much. That gets us. I hope this is just the beginning of the conversation. This is my email address. That's my Twitter account. I've been allowed to mention that I've written a book called Coaching, Introduction to Coaching Skills, a practical guide. That's going to be out by Sage in December 23. And what's unique about this book is it's accompanied by many hours of videotaped coaching practice. Because a lot of times people learning about coaching say, I want to see this practice. I want to see it live. And Hanny and I were talking about this earlier. So there is a little leaflet outside if you're just interested in that. But otherwise, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Christian. And I kind of think that last session by Christian has really fitted in with the overall theme of invigorating our practice, because I certainly feel very much invigorated in terms of what I'm going to be doing, and likewise for the whole day. So huge thank you to Christian. And thank you, everybody, for coming and making it such a wonderful conference. So thank you very much, and good journeys home. Okay, thank you.